Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
If you would stand with me as we read the Word this morning. I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard, is the vine dresser. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you.
Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me.
I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you.
By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
Let's read this next verse together. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you this morning about that word, abide. I titled this little speak time that we have together as about the relationship. Now, I didn't say a relationship. I said the relationship. How many of you have ever had a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Why y'all laughing? Okay. There must be some young people in here that never did that yet. But anyway, if you have, you have had a relationship. But this relationship I'm speaking of today supersedes all relationships. And it talks about, this scripture talks about abiding in the vine. So keep that on your mind as we go forward. When I was about in my early 20s, I grew up in New York City. And I was living in New York, and I was beginning to branch out into, when you turn 18 or 19, you get out of high school, you start to think you're an independent person. You have your own mind. maybe not now, but back in the day when I was coming up, we had a goal. I was going to get an apartment. I was going to live my own life, do whatever I thought I was supposed to do. And I was living in New York, and there was a show that used to come on public radio, and it was called The Apartment Gardener. And I thought, I'm going to listen to this. But if you've ever been to New York or you know anything about New York, there's no place to plant anything. It's nothing but concrete. They used to call it the concrete jungle. And there's really no grass, no land free to put stuff in, really, and call it a plant. So people start getting little flower pots and putting them in their apartment. So this radio show was appealing to that aspect, and I got drawn into it. And I thought, you know what? I remember when I was in elementary school, we had this little seed, and we put in a little square pot, and we put water on it, and it was supposed to grow, and you're supposed to put it in the sun. If you live in an apartment in New York, there ain't no sun. Anyway, my plant never grew. And so I got the bright idea one day, I'm going to have a plant, and I tried several times, and I killed them every time. So a friend of mine had mercy on me, and she thought, you know, Paul, I'm going to get you a plant that you can handle. So she got me something she called an air fern. Okay, some of y'all laughing because you might know what this is. Well, I was so ignorant about plants that I thought, you don't have to do nothing to it. You just put it, it was in a little pot, it was sitting up on my little shelf next to my speakers and my books, and I thought it looked cool, and every day I go and look at it, it looked the same as it did yesterday, and then I go on the road, because I was in the ministry, and we go travel, we'd be gone for 2 or 3 weeks, and then when I came back, the plant still looked good the first time. The second or third trip when I came back, that thing was dead. So I had a funeral for it, and I put it away. It was over. But as I remember, I recall it didn't require much attention, but even the attention it didn't require, I wasn't giving it. So it sat there on my shelf, and it died. And then the connection to our scripture is that my relationship with that plant was severed because of a lack of attention. It died. It died because it was not connected to any life-giving substance. I tell that story because it reminds me of an earlier time in my life when I treated my relationship with God like I did that air fern. I hardly gave it any attention. Not much watering, no checking on it to see if it needed anything. I didn't even ask the person who gave it to me what I should be doing on a regular basis to upkeep and maintain that plant. So, like I said, it eventually died. In other words, I hardly ever prayed. I'm making the connection. I hardly ever prayed. I hardly ever read my Bible. The only time I did was when I was asked to church to read it in church like you were today, when I had responsive reading, and then, okay, now I'm reading the Bible. So for about 25 seconds, I read the Bible. I went to church every week, but the experience was not impacting my life like it could, because I didn't make it a priority to be on time, to pray, to read my Bible, or even go expecting to hear from God. So I got very little out of my relationship with God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, if this sounds like you, I got good news. A change is about to happen. Amen? Some of y'all don't sound confident, but I believe God. Amen. Because of all of what I just said, I consequently lacked purpose in my life. I lacked purpose. I lacked wisdom in making decisions. And most of all, I lacked the ability to have good relationships with my family and friends. Some of you right now are thinking, what happened between the person you're describing and the Paul, Pastor Paul we know? I mean, like, you must be talking about somebody else. No, that was me. B.C., before Christ. Now, I was saved when I was 10, but from the time I was 10 till I was 19, not a whole lot happened with God. He was protecting my life. He was guiding me. He was there. He kept me from harm and danger. He answered my parents' and my grandparents' prayers, but as far as me and God were concerned, he was hanging out behind me somewhere while I did what I wanted to do. To my credit, I don't know if I could say it was to my credit, but God had put in me the desire to minister, and I didn't know it was ministry. I just wanted to play so people could feel, you know, something good. But it was the desire to impact people with the gift that God gave me, and I never forgot that he gave me that gift, but I wasn't really about submitting it to him on a regular basis so he could change my life. And that's what I want to talk about. This morning, when you're connected to the vine, remember we talked about abiding? When you're in that vine, when you're connected to Jesus, then you have a life-giving substance, connection, that changes the atmosphere. It changes the circumstances. It changed my whole life. When I made that connection with Christ, everything changed. Andre wrote a song many years ago called "Everything Changed When Jesus Stepped Into My Life." Anybody have that testimony this morning? Amen. The motivation for abiding is rooted in love. In other words, the reason why I want to hang out with Jesus is because I found out that he loved me. I use that word rooted. Pastor Chuck was just making an announcement. Commercial. This is a good time for you to get connected. Amen? So this rooted thing is based, my rooted thing was based on loving God. And the reason why I love God is because he loved me first. He loved me first. I got good news for you. If you haven't experienced the love of God, he wants to show you his love in a way that you can receive it and understand it. And you know what? It'll bypass all your intellect. It'll bypass all the lies you've been told about God. It'll bypass all the circumstances that have kept you from God. It'll bypass everything. And then you will have this experience. It's called, I know that 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 I know. And when you know God loves you, you can't be the same. And you respond to that love. That's why it says, I love him because he first loved me. And that's what being abiding in the vine has to do with. The motivation is to love God back by being connected with him. So today, this might be a quick message. Notice I said might. Depends on how long it takes. The Bible says in Romans 5:6. Thank you for that repeat. I love it. Is it up there? Throw it up there. It says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone even would even dare to die. But God, this is the key scripture, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's why we love him. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would have everlasting life. Now you love God because he did something for you. He gave the best he had to have us, so we could have a relationship with him. And a lot of us treat it like not that much. It got quiet. Don't shout me down. God loved the world that he gave, and so he's willing to help us to give back to him our whole self. He wants that from us. He doesn't command it in the sense that he's throwing a whip. I want you to worship me. He doesn't do that. He just loves us so hard that you have to love him back. You ever had a relationship with God like that? It's irresistible. Some of you know what I'm talking about. There's some of you that are waiting to be experienced that irresistible love of God. But you can experience it today. All you have to do is respond to him. So let's go back to the text again. I want to focus on that word abide for a minute. In this passage of scripture, it occurs in one form or another over 7 times in just the first 8 verses. Can you put that up? Yeah. You can put up John 15:1-8. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. John 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So some of you are thinking, well, you know what? This is kind of hard. God takes it away. He cuts us off. Well, first thing is that if you're in the vine to begin with, if you're connected to the vine, then you're saved. This is not a situation where God's saying you can lose your salvation. Some people think that you're saved and then you could disobey God long enough and as many times as you want, and somehow you cross a line and you lose your salvation. I'm not going to argue the theological point. This is just what I believe based on what I understand the scripture to say, that once you're born, you can't be unborn. So once you're saved, you're saved. Like, for example, I'm my Father's son. And no matter what I do, I can't not be his son. You with me? Now, I can lose my inheritance. I can lose my relationship with my father and my mother. I could do all kinds of things, but it still does not change me from being his son. And so I'm not encouraging you to do that, by the way. The Bible says don't take your license, your freedom as a license to do evil. But the bottom line is that this verse is written to people who are already connected in the vine. So when he uses the reference of, excuse me, that every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. It's God clearing something up. He's getting rid of the refuse, the stuff that's dead in your life. He's trying to take that away so you can get connected again. And so the main thing you want to do is, if you are bearing fruit, that he prunes you. He comes along and does stuff to you to make you bear more fruit. That's sometimes painful. You know what? I have bushes. I have some, I think they're called laurel bushes. For those of you who are into the plants and stuff, those bushes I have are like indestructible. They've been there since probably like 30 years. And I cut them down till there was nothing but nubs up there. There was not a green leaf to be found. And I thought, man, if I could kill these things, this would surely do it. And they cut them back. I mean, it was 18 inches cut off. It was just a bunch of brown sticks. And within about a month, there was some buds. And then in a couple of weeks, it had some rain. And then a week after that, them boys came back like the vengeance. And I just had them cut this week. And it was just unbelievable. The guy couldn't fit all the stuff in his truck. It was so much stuff. So when you prune, it's to grow more. Some of you are in situations right now that is disciplining for you. It's not fun. You ever been told something you don't like? And you know it's true. Let me put that in there. You know it's true. At your job, they tell you, you can't come in here late every day. We're going to tax your paycheck if you come in here late one more time. And you give them excuses. Well, you know, it was a lot of traffic. Leave 10 minutes early. Well, my alarm didn't go off. Anybody know all them excuses? We give them excuses to God, too. And God's looking at us and going, come on. So the thing is that he prunes us by discipline, by the truth of his word. And that pruning produces more life. Because the whole purpose for you to be a branch is to bear. Say it again. Amen. How many of you want to be fruit bearers? Amen. You know what? I got good news for you. With a little work, you can be fruit bearers. All you have to do is obey. So we're going to go on a little bit. It says that in the first verse, he uses the term vine, vine dresser, or I forget which version you use. Mine said vine dresser. But then it says branch. And we're the branch. Jesus is the vine, and God the Father is the vine dresser. He's the one that takes care of it. Now, in this scripture, along with many of them, you will notice if you read earlier in John and later on, especially in John, you'll see Jesus talk over and over and over again about how he doesn't do anything except what the Father tells him. He says, I and the Father are one. I only do what my Father tells me. The only way that happens is because he's connected. He's connected at the vine. He's connected to the Father. And what I'm saying is, that's the way we live life. Connected, we're supposed to follow Jesus' example. And we have a difficulty doing that. You know why? Because there's little things that come in our life that chase us away from the vine. They distract us. How many of you get distracted when it's time to pray? All of a sudden, the telephone rings. Your cell phone starts giving you you have a meeting in an hour. You think of something you have to do. You haven't thought about it for weeks, and then all of a sudden, when it's time to pray, boop, this little thought comes in. Oh, you know, I got to call so-and-so. That's the devil distracting you. That's why you have to learn to hear the voice of the Lord. I think it's a great thing to learn to hear the voice of the Lord so you can be undistracted. You can listen to the word and it produces life. When he speaks it, you can hear it and respond. I like the scripture Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. The only reason why they know his voice is because he's been talking to them and they've been listening. So if you don't know God's voice, it's because you haven't been talking and listening. Notice I said talking And listen, he's been doing the talking. We got to do the listening. One of the first ways God speaks to us is through his word. I've seen tons of Christians over my years talk about, and they'll say, God told me. And I listen to what they told. They said that God told them, and I know for a fact that he couldn't have said that. I'll give you one example, and this is just ridiculously extreme. But this is an example of what some of us do. I was watching TV back in the 70s, and it was during a big convention. I think it was a Democratic convention or something. And there were some Christians out there that were witnessing and doing stuff. And so they got this woman on TV, and she said, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And she was going on and on. She was dressed like a prostitute. And while that in and of itself would not necessarily disqualify from being a Christian, what she said out of her mouth had a problem. She said, I just want everybody to know I'm a Christian prostitute. Now, why are y'all laughing? Okay, let me help you if you don't understand what's wrong with that. The Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery or fornicate. That means no sex outside of marriage, especially not for pay. Okay? So, you can't really be a Christian prostitute. You could be a Christian bricklayer, and you could be a Christian fireman, and you could be a Christian musician, but you can't be a Christian prostitute. Now, while some of y'all are laughing at that, because of your lack of knowledge of the Word of God, you do the same thing in other areas. You say things that cross over the Word of God. You take one scripture out of context and use it somewhere else. Well, I know God wants me to be blessed. That's true. That don't mean that you should go down to the, you know, high finance 25% interest rate car lot and buy a piece of car. It doesn't necessarily mean that. God does want you to be blessed and so on and so forth. But you might want to get in his word a little bit. And if you do, you'll find out those disparaging differences between what the devil tries to tell you that God said and what God actually said. Can I get a witness this morning? Amen. Amen. But that comes from being connected in the vine. That comes from being in God's word. That comes from having a relationship with God. And that's why I entitled it The Relationship, because if you have this one relationship, everything else gets better. Everything else gets better. How many of you are looking for a wife or a husband? All right, a few hands went up. How many of you used to look for a wife? You did at some point. You were looking. Well, if you got your... This happens over and over again. If you... Private joke over here. Anthony, the healing line will be up. So... Anyway, I forgot what I was trying to say. The whole point is that if you get your relationship with God straight, everything else will be added. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Some of y'all, in order to have a relationship, you need to get rid of a lot of bad baggage. That's why God's not bringing somebody. Because you're not ready. Hallelujah. If you can't say amen, say ouch. All right. Here we go. Verse 5. It says, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. I used to think when I was a young person and I'd hear my father and other preachers and people talk about without God you can do, without him I can do, you know, I was like, man, God's calling us a zero. And then I found out all the stuff that we do without God is a zero. Even if people give us accolades for it, even if we get some success because of it, with God, without God, it's useless. And if you look at the entertainment industry, that's the number one example of how, without God, it's wasted. I don't even have to go there, but just look at Hollywood and look at most of the ones that are married to people in Hollywood. Their marriages are a wreck. That's why they get married 5 or 6 times. They do whatever they do because they don't have God. Not everybody, but many of them. And they're living their life without God, without his input. That's what you get. I hate to say it, but the scripture says, if you reap to sow to the flesh, you'll reap of the flesh. If you sow apple seeds, you're not going to get corn. Amen? If you sow, you know, if you're mean to people, people are not going to be nice to you. Because you get what you give. You reap what you sow. Now, there might be a person that is nice to you just because, and God's trying to break you from that mean mold. But a lot of times you get what you give. The Bible says, if you want to have friends, you should be friendly. I used to think, man, I don't have any close friends. Well, I had a few, but not many. And I thought, man, I want more close friends. And so my father-in-law said to me, well, if you want more close friends, be a close friend. That works. Yeah, be a close friend. Stick around somebody. The Bible says a friend is one who sticks closer than a brother. So you got to be there. And that brings me back to this one idea about God's love. Without action, God's love is only words. In other words, he said he loved us, but then he did something about it. He gave his only son. If we say we love God, likewise, we should do something about it. We should read our Bible every day. We should spend time with him every day. We should be praying for ourselves and our family and all the people around us. We should be telling people about the greatest thing that ever happened to us. If you're not doing that, then you're one of those branches connected to the vine that's unfruitful. And it either needs to be pruned or cut off. That's what I'm talking about. So here's the results of being connected to the vine. You get nourishment. You get nourishment. The thing, I've done this before. I've broken a thing off and tried to plant it, you know, somewhere else. You break off a branch, stick it in more water and dirt. And generally, it's supposed to get life and keep going. And sometimes it happens. A lot of times it happens because there's nourishment in the soil. But if you do like I did with that air fern, and you don't give it no water and you don't put nothing in it and you don't, you know, it never saw sunlight the whole time it was in my room. So that I came home one time from a long trip and that thing was laying up there like this. It was done, all withered up and done. And I said, well, it finally died because I was planting seeds to kill it. I wasn't spending no time with it. I wasn't watering it. I wasn't digging up and putting it in the sun, getting the air. I don't know all the stuff you got to do. I still don't. That's why my wife does all that stuff. All I know is to put water in there. And if you leave it to me, I'll drown the thing. So I don't have a green thumb, can you tell? But at least I figured out with my relationship with God, I don't have to fail. I can be a vibrant, alive person because I'm connected to the vine. So the nourishment that you get, let me put it this way. Every day when you wake up, if you spend just 10 minutes in God's presence, 10 minutes in his word and 10 minutes listening to him speak to you and 10 minutes you praying, you'll watch your day change. Instead of it being full of, how many of you have bad days? That's how you get rid of them. I don't have bad days. Last week I took my car to the shop and I was supposed to get a little $250 job and the service dude calls me up and said, Mr. Greenidge, we're going to have to we have to replace your whole axle, and it's going to be $2,500. All I could see is Fred Sanford.
But, you know, the thing is, you know, someone said, oh, man, your day's not going so well. I said, oh, yes, it is. I don't have the money now, but somehow God's going to bless. He's going to provide. I wasn't prepared for a $2,500 bill, but God will take care of it. I'm not worried. I'm supposed to pick it up tomorrow. Hallelujah. But I don't have a bad day because I give my day to God every day. And I ask him to order my steps. And I ask him to bless the things that I put my hand to. And I ask him to lead me and guide me. I ask him to walk with me. I ask him to speak to me. I ask him to protect me. I'm spending some time with a couple right now who they're trying to buy a house. And they've never experienced the thrill of buying a house. And for those of you who bought a house or been involved, you know it can go like this all day long. And so every time they say, you know, I got so-and-so, and then I'll tell them, well, you might want to look at this and blah, 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 blah. And then they've been looking for houses for almost 7 weeks. They've lost 3 or 4 bids. And throughout that whole process, I've been praying with them. So the first time I did it, they were like, okay. I said, let's pray about the house you're going to look for. Really? Why do we have to do that? Just wait and see. Sure enough. They went and looked at the house, and they thought they had it, and they were getting ready to put their money down or did whatever you have to do to make a bid on the house, and it didn't happen. Somebody else bid more, and they lost it. Then they put money down on the house, and the house was looking good until they got it inspected. Then they found out there were some major problems, so they walked away from that one. And, you know, they've been going up, and I said, listen, it's just like your relationship with God when you don't commit to him. You go up and down. But if you commit to him, you'll always be going up. Even when things go negative and it's not good, you can overcome. You can go through any circumstance. You can go above the circumstance. God designed it so that you can win even when it looks like you're losing. Sometimes you go through a dark place. I went through a dark place for about 2.5 years. I moved to the Northwest. I'm serious. And the Lord told me, you're going to go through a dark period. He told me, he had somebody else tell me, and he told me myself. He said, you're going to go through a period of, I'm cutting the umbilical cord. The presence that you used to feel, you're not going to feel that anymore. And I was like, man, I'm used to feeling the power of the Holy Ghost on me. And I get up to play, man, and I feel it. I minister, I could feel in my devotions. And then it was just like God said, I'm cutting the cord so that you live by faith. Everything you think you know, now you're going to have to prove it. I want you. It's a season. And he said, don't waver. Don't give up. Don't quit. Just stay faithful. Keep reading that Bible. So sure I did. But you know what? That was the one time that I backslid. I never backslid again, but that time I backslid because I stopped reading the Bible. It didn't happen all at once. I read the Bible, instead of every day, it was 5 days. Then went to 4, then 3, then 2. Then I didn't read it. And you know what? The presence of God was still present. I would get up to minister and play and teach the choir and Holy Spirit would show up. But instead of it being like, I'll use numbers. It used to be 110. Then it was 108. Then it was 95, then it was 50, and then it was 25. And finally, I did something that the Holy Spirit really talked to me about. And it happened one day, and the scripture came to me, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a powerful scripture in my life because the Holy Spirit gave me a vision of a huge, great umbrella. Like if you stuck a pole in the middle of this room and then the walls and everything, that was the umbrella. And the secret place might be, let's say, right down here in the middle. And I'm in the middle. This is where the Holy Spirit is. This is where Jesus. I'm right here. But what I was doing was every day that I didn't read my Bible, I was taking a step closer and closer away.
and closer away. And finally, I got to the edge of the umbrella, and I stepped out with one foot. And that's when Holy Spirit said, "Hey, hey, you're getting too close." And I almost got into a car accident. And the Holy Spirit said, "I just answered one of your grandfather's prayers for you. He died when I was 10. I'm now 26 or something like that, 25 or 26. And so it had been many years, but God answered a prayer. And that pushed me back under the umbrella of the shadow of the Almighty. And then I started coming back to the center of my life. And I've never gone away since. Can you say amen? Not for me, but for God. And it's a choice that we make that changes our life. You have direct spiritual energy for every task ahead when you stay connected to the vine. Jesus said in John 6:63, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." That comes, those are benefits of being connected to the vine. Obedience is wrapped up in the idea of abiding. Jesus completely followed all the directions given by God the Father. In verses 4 and 5, you'll see he said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." In order to abide, it means you have to do what he says. There's the obedience thing. That "if" word is used several times. It says, "if you." In verse 6, it says, "if anyone does not abide." In verse 7, it says, "if you abide." If you don't abide, this is what happens. "You're cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you do abide in me," verse 7, "and my words abide in you." Look at the contrast. "Ask what you will, ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Can you see one person getting cut off and thrown into the fire, and the other one is asking whatever he wills, and it shall be done unto him? That's a huge difference. That's like night and day. When you abide, God is looking for obedience. Obedience brings joy. Obedience brings joy. Inherent in obedience are two words that many of us have a problem with. One of them is submission and the other is authority. As soon as someone says submission in a relationship and you're a woman, you also, some of you women start working your neck, as we used to call it. I can't do it because I don't have much of a neck, but if I did, you could see them necks going, "Oh no, I'm not letting no man be in charge of me. Oh." Right? Some of y'all saying amen. That ain't right. You're not supposed to say amen to that. Some of us bristle when those words are used, but they're good words that have been abused and misused, all for the purpose of getting you to refuse the blessing that comes with it. Submission and authority are two words that God instituted. Let me describe it to you like this. The Bible says that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, right? The Bible says that God knows all things, right? So all the information that man has discovered is all stuff that God already knows, right? God is everywhere, right? He's here, he's over there, he's in China, he's in India, he's everywhere. He knows everything, and then he's all powerful. There's nothing that God can't do. Do y'all believe that? Amen. Can you say amen? There's nothing God cannot do. Now, if God, the king of the universe, the one with all knowledge, all power, all abilities, all everything, as Donnie McClurkin said, he's all that. Okay? That God made a commitment to us that he loved us so much that he gave us the best he had, his only son. Now, why would that guy abuse you and misuse you. Because that's the reason why most people don't like authority and submission. Because somebody abused authority. Somebody abused submission. Somebody did something to you that has authority over you. And so now you're like, oh no, I don't want none of that. But if you know what I know, is that same God that created, he wants to know me. That same God in the universe said, I love you, Paul Holly Greenidge. I love you. I know you. I created you for my purpose. He's saying the same thing about every one of us. That guy is trustworthy. That man is trustworthy. That God can never fail. That God is the one you ought to trust. That God is the one you should submit to. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is to say, if he loved you yesterday, he loves you today. He's going to love you forever. If he blessed you yesterday, he's going to bless you today. He's going to bless you forever. He gives us eternal life in Jesus Christ. Does that sound like someone who can and should be trusted? Does it? Some of y'all saying yes. Everybody should be screaming yes. If you haven't experienced that God's love like that, then you need to come down here, because God has something for you today. He wants you to experience that kind of love, that you would trust him with your whole life. And the thing about God is he can't lie. He cannot lie. He doesn't tell a half-truth. He just cannot lie. And everything he said in his word will come to pass. It's true. The Bible says that God watches over his word to see that it comes to pass. He watches over the things he said about you to see that it comes to pass. When he said Jesus loves you with an everlasting love and he came down and sent his son to die for you, it's so you could be changed and you could have eternal life in him. Not because he is not trustworthy, because he is trustworthy. He is the opposite of everything you heard about him that's not true. And what most of the people have done is they've attributed things that the devil has put up and blamed God for. And then he said, look at that. See, you believe that God, but he's the one that allowed all them people to die over and so-and-so. And he created that tsunami that killed all those people. And he did that earthquake. God didn't do all of that. But the devil says he does, so you won't trust God. Now, I want to show you something. I'm peeping the devil's hand. The devil cannot tell the truth.
Right. Say that to you.
He lied to Adam and Eve, and he's been lying ever since. In fact, he's a lying wonder. He's a lying wonder. You know why he's a lying wonder? Because we believe 80% of the lies he tells us.
Come on.
We believe his lies. And I'm trying to tell you that you can't believe his lies. You can believe what God said, because what God said, he proved over and over and over again. God's grace is sufficient for every situation you got. When persons put their trust in God, he said, I will not disappoint you. Anyone who puts his trust in me will not be disappointed. Now, some people put their trust in God, and then the devil blames God for what happens. I'll give you one example. You ask God for a miracle in your finances, and he wants to give it. But this is what the devil gets you to do. You know what? You can't give that tithe to the Lord, because you won't be able to pay your mortgage. And then guess what? You'll be homeless. What kind of testimony is that for you being a Christian? Don't pay that tithe. Now, God told you if you pay the tithe, he'll bless you. Did he say that?
Yep.
Yeah, he did. If you give tithes and offerings, he'll bless you even more.
Right.
The tithe rebukes who?
The
Satan, the devourer. It keeps him off your stuff. When you don't pay your tithes, and I like to say when you don't give your tithes, you give the devil permission to steal from you. I'm not talking about money, because it's a big thing, and you know, people want to say that pastors always want to get your money and all. That's a lie from the devil again. God's the one that said it. And I'm a living witness that when you tithe, that's how I bought my first house, my second house, and my third house, from tithing and giving offerings. That's how come I'm wearing these clothes today, because I tithe and I give offerings. God blesses me all the time in my business and whatever, because I tithe.
And I'm not bragging because of me. It's what God said. You can have the same, if not more. Amen? Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. So obedience is what gets us into the vine. Obeying what God says, submitting to what God has, because he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to trust your life with. And God loves you. He's not going to dog you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Psalm 91 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall, there's that word, abide. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Abide. Another word for abide is remain. Remain. To stay in the presence of. See, I have no more notes. We're done. Can you bow your heads? For those of you who are thinking about this abiding in the vine, maybe you're that person who has at some points abided. You did spend some time with God, but you haven't been spending enough time. So wherever you are in your walk with God, you can get closer. Can you say amen?
Amen.
If that's you and you want to get close, I just want you to stick your hand up. Just raise your hand. It's just a way of saying, God, I want to get closer to you. I'm not as close as I want to be. I know I need to get closer to you. This is an opportunity for you to make that step. One thing I like about God and the Holy Spirit, when you can put your hands down, when you ever commit to God, it's interesting. You give up and then you get way more than you ever gave up. When you submit to God, he blesses you abundantly above what you can ask or think. And so you're abiding in God's vine, staying with him in the word, staying up in prayer. This next Sunday is a great opportunity for you to spend some time in his presence. I know there's a lot of things going on in our world. One of the reasons why we call this prayer meeting time next week is for us to get connected in a deeper way. And your connection starts now. I like God because whenever he shows us something, he doesn't show us so he can condemn us. He shows us so he can bless us. Some of you may have felt convicted about something that was said today. Maybe the Holy Spirit, I didn't say anything about something, but the Holy Spirit brought something up in your mind that you need to get free from. This is a great time. He brought it up. He brought conviction to bring restoration. He doesn't bring conviction to condemn. That's the devil who does the condemnation. Pastor preached it last week. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So this morning, I'm going to give an invitation for anybody to come forward that wants to abide more in God's presence. If you don't have a relationship with God at all, this is a great time to establish one. God says, come all who are weary and heavy burdened. You're tired of living life by yourself. He said, come and I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you joy. I'll bless your life. All the stuff that we were talking about, the nourishment to live every day effectively, God will do that for you if you just come.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.